A very warm welcome to you this morning, especially if you're a visitor or you haven't been for a long time. Good to see you. As you know, the notices are on the sheet, but I'm just going to remind you of a few that are sort of last-minute ones. It's the deadline today to hand in your voting papers for the church elders, the boxes at the back of church. The plea for mobile phones, it's been extended for another 2 weeks. So if you've forgotten to bring your mobile phones, you've got another 2 weeks, and Anne McFarland is collecting them. Church news, please pick up your March copy. It's fresh, hot off the press, and you can pick those up from the box in the vestibule at the back of church. And just a final reminder, on Friday, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, we've got a 24-hour prayer vigil. You're welcome to come and go as you please, and it's on right through during the day and through the night, starting this Friday. Thank you.
Please be seated. Our call to worship begins with prayer. So let us pray. Loving God, today we think of creation. You created everything in this world with your words. You speak them, and they come to be. Look at nature. All things are beautiful. Sometimes we marvel at their beauty and wonder how you made them. Now we consider ourselves made in your image. You used your hands to mold us. You didn't rush or just speak us to be. You molded us. If words alone can bring about beautiful nature, then what about your handiwork? We are beautiful. For the beauty of creation and the beauty of our lives, we thank you. This prayer we pray in the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen. Our first hymn this morning is, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, hymn number 117.
Thank you.
So let us pray. Dear God, how honoured we are to be created in your image. In this we are set apart from the rest of creation. Thank you. Though we may never know exactly what this means, we do understand the incredible blessing and calling associated with being made in your image. You have made us to be like you from the beginning. Help us never to abuse your craftsmanship, to use all of our being in your service. Forgive us where and when we have failed to use our life to your glory. Grant that we may live life to the fullest, whether at work or at rest, whether in the world or at home, when we imitate you. Help us to live this day so that your image may be visible through us. Amen. And now shall we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So now we are going to have Steve give us some explanation of the service this morning.
Do you people like dressing up? Do you like putting on different clothes? You might like to turn yourself into a fairy or an angel or something. And I've got one or two things in here that you can put on. Or you can have a look at if you don't want to put them on. If you put those on, what do you think you might be? Meow! I think it would be a very good cat. Would you like to wear them? No? Okay, no, you don't. If you were going to dress up in that, what would you be? You'd have to be much smaller than we all are now, but what would you be? Grown-ups, tell me? A nurse, right. Now, I don't know how many people would know this one, but if you put this hat on, oh, can't do everything. Whose hat is that? It's a storybook. The Cat in the Hat, yes. And one last bit of sparkle. Even more sparkle. Now, if you wore that with a velvet cloak like that, what sort of person would you be? You could be a king or a queen or a princess, somebody royal, somebody very posh. So, why do we dress up? You'd like to be a doctor? Great. I wonder if our slightly older young people could tell us why we dress up. No ideas? Because grown-ups dress up as well. Children dress up, I think, to pretend to be somebody else, to make themselves look different. You're going to be a doctor. Great. And I'll have to find somebody to wear the nurse's uniform and they can come and help you. Okay? Right. So, when did grown-ups dress up? When do you dress up, grown-ups? Pardon? For a party? Yes. A wedding? Sometimes you dress down, perhaps? You change how you look? Gardening, going to the gym perhaps if you're exercising. I saw a lot of very dressed down, very tired people running along the river as we came in this morning. So we dress up really to sort of change how we look, possibly to change how we feel. And there are two words that really, big grown-up words, that mean changing yourself or changing somebody else. One is transformation. That's a big word. And the other one is transfiguration, which is even bigger. And that's in the Bible. And we today are going to hear how Jesus' appearance changed, how he looked different. And we're going to have that story when we go out to the hall now.
I must just tell you that yesterday, when I was in the foyer, Poppy, little Poppy here, was playing at being a doctor, and she was making everybody sick and then having a chance to try and make them well again. She was lovely. So we continue now with our readings for today, and the first reading is, no, we're not going to do that, we're going to sing. Number 95, God is love, let heaven adore him. Reading today is from Psalms 139, which is about the laws of God, and it's going to be read to us by Sue Shaw. Thank you, Sue.
Lord, you have examined me and you know me. You know everything I do. From far away, you understand all my thoughts. You see me, whether I'm working or resting. You know all my actions. Even before I speak, you already know what I will say. You are all round me on every side. You protect me with your power. Your knowledge of me is too deep. It is beyond my understanding. Where could I go to escape from you? Where could I get away from your presence? If I went up to heaven, you would be there. If I lay down in the world of the dead, you would be there. If I flew away beyond the east or lived in the farthest place in the west, you would be there to lead me. You would be there to help me. I could ask the darkness to hide me or the light round me to turn into night. But even darkness is not dark for you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You created every part of me. You put me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because you are to be feared. All you do is strange and wonderful. I know it with all my heart. When my bones were being formed, carefully put together in my mother's womb, when I was growing there in secret, you knew that I was there. You saw me before I was born. The days allotted to me had all been recorded in your book before any of them ever began. Oh God, how difficult I find your thoughts, how many of them there are. If I counted them, they would be more than the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you.
And for our second reading, it comes from Matthew chapter 17, verses 1 to 8, and it can be read by Linda Austin.
6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and the brothers James and John and led them up a high mountain where they were alone. As they looked on, a change came over Jesus. His face was shining like the sun, and his clothes were dazzling white. Then the three disciples saw Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. So Peter spoke up and said to Jesus, "Lord, how good it is that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was talking, a shining cloud came over them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my own dear son, with whom I am pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard the voice, they were so terrified that they threw themselves face downwards on the ground. Jesus came to them and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." So they looked up and saw no one there but Jesus. Amen.
So God, as you said, you have made me in your own image, and you have made me a disabled person. I assume you are disabled too. I'm confused. If being a disabled person makes me an okay human being, how is it then that you sent your son, Jesus Christ? And apparently he wasn't disabled, and he entered the world as non-disabled, and yet you made him in your own image. I find that even more confusing and interesting, especially as Jesus went about doing good and casting out demons, making the blind to see and the lame to walk. Why couldn't Jesus make you and me into a non-disabled person? I think you were teaching your son that he didn't have to make us all the same, because thousands were not physically or mentally healed. Presumably, difference was a good thing, where people celebrated individual gifts. Some colleagues of mine have ridiculed the Bible, saying the words of Jesus has made their lives a misery. In years gone by, I've tended to agree with them, especially God, when our lives have been made so treatment-driven, both in word and deed. It made me feel very unworthy. Jesus made people perfect instantly without the trauma of medication, surgery, and endless exercise. Jesus said, "Your faith has made you whole." Did people have faith before or after they were healed? For disabled people, they also endure the humiliation of language. "Try harder, come on, you're not helping yourself. Look at Mr. Smith, he got himself out of depression, managed his diabetic condition through a disciplined diet, and despite having a leg amputated, he's up and about and ready to go home." I kept thinking, "I'm trying hard, but I just can't change. Jesus, am I a failure?" To those instantly healed, besides faith, you also told the person not to tell anyone what you have done in the name of your Father. Why did you say that? Was that the secret wisdom God talked about? Perhaps those you healed found this wisdom. My colleagues dismissed your teachings, but I've stuck with them in the hope I will discover and learn more about your secret wisdom. God, when I got to the passage about transfiguration and read about Jesus rising from the dead, I felt even more of a failure. At first I was shocked. Jesus alive and whole, talking with his friends and disciples, breaking bread and drinking wine with his disciples. How I prayed to you, God, why couldn't disabled people be viewed as non-disabled people? If you're disabled and your son is not, how is it that people rejoice in all that you do and have done? And that part is true, because you both have done wonderful works and given us a world of beauty and people who do good for others. You've made a great job of creation, God, although some people believe you have messed up and many are disgruntled and can't believe in you or see anything good. So, God, perhaps I'm not such a failure, because although I get depressed sometimes, I see the wonderful things you've done as disabled, God, and I have faith in you now. You know, I was confused and angry years ago, but I do love you, and I have tried to make up lost time. I can't feel that I and so many of my friends, some who have a tougher time than me, are treated in such ways as to make us feel bad about ourselves. People in the mental health system, those who have hearing and sight impairments, those with learning difficulties, the struggle can be great when people make assumptions. You said, God, that blessed are those who cannot see and yet believe. Poor Thomas had that difficulty. The Bible in various passages teaches us what it means to be different, how the Bible deals with discrimination, and whether prejudice continues in the church today. So, God, if you are disabled and Jesus was not, like many others who are disabled and those who are not, all can be made perfect, as we are all made in your image. So now I can rejoice and be glad because I have become clearer about you, your son, and my situation. None of us will go through transfiguration as Jesus did, but all can experience transformation, and that's not a bad start. Especially if we grapple with your secret wisdom. Even Jesus was disabled on the cross. I believe you to be wise, God, and I am working at trying to understand your wise words. You have to be patient, God, but now I do not get too wound up when I endure misguided conduct and words that can be painful to listen to. As you must do all the time. For example, the one thing you miss out on is people patting you on the head or trying to drag you out of a wheelchair or subdue you if your mental health is of a concern. I've not heard people calling you brave or courageous, especially as we are all made in your image. So why would I get singled out for being different? Certainly I'm not brave. You don't get people saying ridiculous things like, isn't she or he marvellous? I couldn't go on a train to London. I couldn't do that. Just imagine being on a bus and a passenger shouts, there's a wheelchair waiting to get off. Get the ramp. Yes, I do need the ramp, not them. And I can speak for myself. And I'm certainly not a wheelchair. I'm a wheelchair user, and that I admit. Don't misunderstand, God. There are more people who are kind to me, but my life remains complex. So God, you are a good person. You've taught me so much, and you have given me the ability and the opportunities to learn so much about you. You have transformed me and taken me from my dreadful past life and brought me to a new place. I wish I could shake hands with you so I can thank you that I am on the same page as you, and I promise not to pat your head. A final question, God. How do I challenge disabled people and non-disabled people to believe they are like you and your son, made in your image? That, God, really is a challenge. Amen. So now we are going to sing hymn number 647, In Christ There Is No East or West. Hymn number 647. and will lead us in our prayers of intercession.
Let us pray. God of all time, thank you for difference and uniqueness, which is your gift to us and our gift to each other. Give us grace to welcome, to honour, and to notice deeply your grace in the differences of others. Live in us with restless energy, making us courageous to love well. Strengthen us to walk the way of Jesus, allowing his message of love to transform our lives. We give thanks for the good news that unfolds in the world as people dream your dreams, follow your nudging, and seek you in the faces they meet each day. But we are conscious, O God, that our planet is fragile, and so is the life that claims it as home. We wonder how long we can simply take what we want, with little regard to the cost of your creation. Remind us to take what we need and no more. Spur us with new insight and deeper understanding that we may live conscious of the impact of what we do and fail to do. Lord of all, we pray for those in our communities and further afield affected by the coronavirus, the threat of redundancy as jobs disappear, those coping with the aftermath of floods, and those known to us coping with health problems. Lord, hear our prayer, for wherever there is darkness, disunity, or despair. Dear Lord, remind us today that anywhere can be a holy place. Your holy mountain can be found in a crowded city, your name called upon anywhere, and your voice heard right here. As our journey through the week begins, we humbly ask that through us, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Our offertory will now be taken. Let us pray. For the blessings of this and all our days, we thank you, gracious God. Accept, we pray, not just this money, but also our lives freely offered in gratitude for all that you have done for us. Use them both in this place and wherever you might take us. Amen. We sing our final hymn, number 96, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let us pray. Inclusive God, forgive us when we have excluded people because they are different. We humbly reach out to you. Heal the pain we have felt when we have been excluded for being different. We humbly reach out to you. By your Spirit, empower us as followers of Christ to include all people who are different. We humbly reach out to you. And this prayer we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.